Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Sober Indian Saturday Night Live. This is Karen, and tonight we have John on with us. He's actually coming back on to talk a little bit more about his story. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Karen. I'm glad to be here again. Sure enjoyed it the last time, and sure'd like to, you know, fill in a few more spots of how it was and how it is now, as a, you know, kind of continue from where I left off last time, I guess.
Okay, absolutely. I will go ahead and give you the floor then.
Okay. Well, again, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic and live in the West Texas area. And last time I talked about how I started as an alcoholic, what I thought was my turning points as an alcoholic, and went through what my life is and how I finally sobered up. I'd like to touch back on some of that stuff today. Some of the stuff points I'd like to make is like when my first drink, I was probably about 12 or 13 years old when I took my first drink, and that became immediate obsession for me. I probably, you know, had one beer maybe that one time, and that was a total obsession for me. And I didn't probably have another drink for quite a while, but it was something that stayed with me for a long time, forever, I guess. I was always trying to figure out what that, how to get that next drink, how to get that same feeling again. So that is a turning point in my life as an alcoholic. I realize that now, that that's not normal behavior for a regular person, normal person, we would say. So with that in mind, I continued later on in life, you know, and once I was able to get alcohol on my own, it became quickly an everyday issue in my life, and didn't stop for a long time. Several years went on in my life before certain things happened in my life that I quit for a while. That's another turning point in my life, you know, key point that I'd like to point out, is that I did quit drinking at one point in my life without any type of programs, without any type of help. I just quit. I knew I had to quit. It had become such a big deal for me. I was getting into wrecks. I was getting all kinds of things turned in my life. And that's another turning point in my life where I have, you know, I can go back and reminisce about this and realize what the key parts were and what causes me to tick, I guess. At that time, when I did quit drinking, I call it white knuckling. I didn't have a program, didn't have anything. I just quit cold turkey and didn't drink. Lots of anxieties go with that type of quitting, you know. A lot of anxieties, lots of depression, not knowing what to do with my life. Little things like that. That's all I knew was drinking, you know. And then there came, you know, when I finally got used to doing that, but I was never quite a normal person. You know, during that time, I ended up doing a lot of things. Got married, started a family, tried different careers, did different things. But all this time, I've always been a person with lots of anxieties, working more than one job at a time, trying to do a lot, you know, staying so busy in my life that there's no relaxation ever, even during all this time of being married and trying to raise a family. You keep on going with stuff. Then came the time when I finally took another drink. You know, what led me to it is, you know, another point, but the idea is that I took a drink even after all this time. I didn't really want to because I knew deep inside I shouldn't drink, but I took a drink. And immediately I felt this relief, a relief of anxieties, everything. Everything was good again, in a way. That became another turning point in my life right there, that it started all the bad stuff again, the obsessions again. You know, I couldn't wait to get it. You know, you start thinking, person with alcoholism have this, we have this allergy, you know, and I'm sure people with addictions have the same thing, that once we have this, we continue with this obsession of how we're going to get this next thing again, this next drink, this next fix, whatever it is. And we continue searching for that. It's it takes up everything in our lives, anything from, you know, it even replaces God in your life at times, because you don't need to wait for a miracle. You've got instant fix. You've got a lot of things in life. Things go bad in a relationship. Anything happens, you just take a drink and it goes away. You know, so you live with this obsession at all times. You live with this, golly, it's even a, it's such a, you start craving, a phenomenal craving of stuff you get when you're drinking like this, when you're an alcoholic. People a lot of times don't realize what a phenomenal craving is. You know, people, we go to phases that if we can't get the alcohol right away, I mean, we may walk barefoot in a snowstorm trying to get a fix, trying to get, you know, alcohol, trying to get something. You know, that's just an idea there of what we go through. We do a lot of things, you know. But during this time, a lot of bad things started happening in my life. You know, I started driving while intoxicated. You know, luckily, I didn't get caught, you know. I started having my children in my vehicle with me. You know, it's such an a craving, a phenomenal craving that it's hard to describe, you know. A normal person might say, why do they do that? Why do we do this, you know? But we do it for insane reasons, because we have to have our fix. We have to have our drink. It's a phenomenal craving. It's something we can't get to the point we can't live without it. You know, and I would white-knuckle it for a while, and I would, you know, stop drinking, but the obsessions would never, ever leave me. I was always stuck, you know, needing something like that. Another turning point came in my life when I finally decided that, you know, I had to quit. Well, actually, I lost my career and everything. I started losing, you know, career I was in. And I came to a big crash. And at that time is when I finally found the program of AA. I was introduced to it. And immediately I loved what I found in that program. Immediately I, you know, talked to people there, and I saw people who had what I wanted. They had sobriety. I couldn't believe that they were alcoholics like me, living a normal life and going on. You know, and I was very lucky during this time. I didn't lose my family or anything, but, you know, I was right on the verge of doing this. So I found this program. I started sitting in on it, and I don't think I ever really reached a point where I really, really wanted to work this program. I just wanted to be there. I wanted the good times. I was probably still having reservations about quitting. More likely, I think, in my mind, I think back now, I really wanted to learn how to drink like a normal person. Maybe I still didn't want to give everything up. Still wanted to be able to pursue my career in drinking, but just be able to handle it, I guess. But I did quit, you know, and I did start in working the program, got a sponsor, did certain things that I needed to do, and got back on track again. During this time of my sobriety, things got better again, and then things got worse. It seemed like I ended up getting a divorce during this time. I became a single dad. I was able to handle all this during this time of sobriety with the program. And it was actually very good for me. You know, I just, you know, I knew things were not always going to be perfect, and that I had to go through these trials. And talking to sponsors and stuff, I was able to handle all this. What finally happened was that I got a different job, and I started. I quit making contact with sponsors. I quit. Talking, you know, going to the program, you know, it was in a different direction. I'd been going to program in one town and I got a job in another town. So I, you know, just dropped that program slowly. You know, I kept talking and kept little by little, but I just kind of finally cut ties with them and got to the point that I thought, you know, I got this now. I got it. I don't, you know, I'll be okay. That's another key turning point in my life right there. When I got to that point that I didn't need something, it wasn't long before I started feeling like I deserved a pat on the back type of feeling. You know, I was doing real good. I was raising my children and, I was just doing a good job overall. You know, that was my thought in my head, you know. It got to the point where I started thinking, well, maybe a drink wouldn't be bad, you know. Maybe I can handle it now. Maybe if I just do it this way or that way. And that was a, that's what I call a key turning point in my life, because that's when I really started thinking again. People talk about a relapse. In my life, I don't know. I don't really use that word as a relapse. I started planning a drink. Is what I started doing. I started, you know, it took time planning and thinking about it. The obsession was coming back, this obsession with alcohol, because I didn't have anything else, you know, to stop me from it or point me in a different direction. I'd given up my program, and it went on like that for a while. I didn't, you know, it took a while before I started trying to drink again, but I had this thought in my head, and once that thought came in, I probably should have picked up my phone and got back into the program and started trying something different, but I didn't. And eventually it got so overwhelming that I kept thinking that was the only thought in my head again. I was doing a good job. I deserve something good. I remember one day finally I thought, you know, I'm going to get me a 6-pack of beer and I deserve this. I'm just going to drink a couple. And like a normal person would, and I'm going to just enjoy it. You know, I deserve this. I don't know how long it took me to actually go and buy this, but I do remember that when I finally did, I walked into the liquor store, and instead of a 6-pack, I grabbed a 30-pack. You know, it's in my head, I already knew that that wasn't going to be enough, but, you know, but I told myself, you know, just in case, that way you don't have to come back later, that way you don't have to, you know, next week or something, you can just keep them cold at the house, and you can have one a day or two a day, you know. Those were thoughts in my head, but inside now I realize that I've always known that I'm an alcoholic. So, I grabbed it, and I don't know if I drank that day or not. I was still trying to – I knew I had it with me. It made me feel better. I was feeling okay just because I had it with me. I didn't have to drink immediately. Just the idea that I had alcohol with me was soothing enough, I guess. And but I eventually did drink again. It didn't take long for that this time around to turn into very heavy drinking and started hitting some hard liquor too, because I needed a quicker fix than that would give me anymore. You know, I'd always heard that you take off right where you left off and it gets worse. And it's true for me, because I started buying half gallons of vodka immediately after that. You know, it didn't take long. I was able to function. I was able to do family functions and keep going with my family and do a lot of things, but it probably didn't take more than a year or so. And I'm lucky I was able to go that long, really, before I finally hit a bottom where I couldn't stop drinking. I was sneaking stuff in my drink at work, doing different things just to function. I couldn't function anymore without it. I was so deep into alcohol that you finally get to a point that they call it the jumping off point, where you don't want to live, you really don't want to die, but you don't want to be alive. You don't want to drink, but you can't not drink. You have to drink. I hit that point, you know, and, you know, thinking, should I or should I not, you know, do something to myself, you know, hurt myself, kill myself, do something, you know. And by that time in my life, I had already, I was thinking, looking at when I can get this next drink, the next drink. And I had a moment of clarity. I do remember, I know I spoke about this last time, where a voice in my head, out of my head, but it was just a moment of clarity where it said, you know, John, this is not a game. You're going to die. You know, simple as that. It came to my head so clear. I had been thinking about just putting it off. Well, I'll quit tomorrow. I'll quit tomorrow. You know, we, as alcoholics, we always say that we'll quit tomorrow. We'll stop tomorrow. I know I can, but we'll do it tomorrow. But that afternoon, after that, after I'd had that moment of clarity, I couldn't quit. And I knew I couldn't quit. My body, you know, so, needing alcohol, my mind needing alcohol, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, everything, you need alcohol. And I didn't want to be alive with it, but I couldn't not quit, you know. And I got some help. I called some friends, and took me in. I was able to get to a place and, you know, get sobered up again. At that point, you know, that was the last time. You know, that was in 2016. And like I said, that's a lot of years of my life that I spent that, you know, and I was able to sober up at that point. And since then, I have jumped into the program, and I've stayed in this program, and you know, and it's worked for me. But now thinking back all the way to what, now, you know, I go back and I think about, talk to people, and start about that very first drink I had, you know. I think that proved that, you know, at that point, they say, well, you know, you showed you were an alcoholic with that very first drink you ever had, you know. And that's, that was the key point I was trying to make. You know, I was an alcoholic. I've had this allergy. You know, doctors have called it an allergy from way back in the day when, you know, first doctors started trying to, you know, figure out this thing about alcoholism. It created an obsession for me, but I took it at such a young age, and I started drinking at such a young age that I look back now, and I never matured mentally, you know, physically barely, I guess, but mentally is one of the things that I was never able to grow really into adulthood, I guess. And so, you know, everything was about alcohol from that point on, from, you know, the time I was able to drive and get alcohol in my head, you know, it would ease everything. I mean, it would stop bullying in my head. If I was, you know, bullied in school, it would take away those things. If I did anything I did in life, you know, anything went wrong, I didn't need anything other than alcohol. So my mind never grew up, I think, you know. I was always, had a fix for everything. So mentally, my body didn't grow up. My mind didn't grow up, I think, you know. So when I was able to quit, that brought me back to that second point. When I finally did quit the first time, I believe I had such anxieties because my body, you know, which chemically it probably couldn't function. My mind couldn't function right. My thinking couldn't function right because I never grew up. I was probably 25 at the time, but mentally I don't think I was an adult. You know, physically I was, and I could work, and I'd always been a hard worker and do all kinds of stuff working. But I didn't know how to handle my emotions in any way. You know, I didn't know how to act. I didn't know what to do in my life, all because I had never grown up with, you know, being on alcohol all the time. My body and my mind were actually more my mind than anything. My emotions had never grown up. So without any kind of help, I lived several years in all types of depressions and anxieties. So that was one of the key points I had there as doing that. And to this day, I realize that's me. I have to, you know, I have to do something with it now. So that brings me back to this point. But then when I started drinking again, at that time, you know, after, you know, said, I'd quit for quite a while. I realize now that that's what my body, my mind needed. It needed that relaxation. I didn't know any other way to do it. So I had to have the alcohol, and that was an immediate fix again. And so I know when I continue doing that, and it actually helped me survive, you know. It really did. I mean, it did a lot for, you know, for me at the time. I thought it did, you know. It helped me survive everything I did. But that's all I did, just survive. I didn't really live. I didn't really understand all the years of my life what was happening around me, I don't think, you know. And I know a lot of people go through that. I've dealt with all the people who are not, you know, never grew up mentally or emotionally. And so that's one of the things that I've had to learn. When I finally got into the program, I realized then that people were showing me how to live. You know, I was able to find a higher power. I was able to find different things that I never needed before because, you know, alcohol was my higher power. So now I go back and think about that, and I realize that, you know, that's what I did. And when I started drinking again, I'm kind of, you know, in a way, it sounds kind of odd to say this, but I'm glad I did. When I tell you I went in for that six-pack and came out with a 30-pack, in a way, you know, I hate that I did that, but in a way, I'm glad I did because it brought me to the realization that I am an alcoholic. That's, I think that's when I finally really admitted to myself that I am an alcoholic, that I can't, you know, I can't ever take another drink again. I can't have any reservations about this. There's nothing there for me. Now, for an alcoholic, that is an overwhelming thought. Now, you know, it's, you know, to me, that's almost as big as thinking that that there's no end to the universe. It goes on forever and ever and ever. You know, it's kind of very overwhelming to think that I can't ever have another drink again. But that's what this program has done for me now. At this point, it teaches me to live one day at a time, you know, and I don't have to worry about the future so much. Yes, we do have to make plans, and but it's the outcome. We don't know what it is. All I know is that when I get up in the morning, I just have to stay sober for that one day, you know, and it's not a struggle for me. It is not a struggle working a program. Before, it was a struggle without a program. It was every day is an obsessive thought of alcohol. But after I did relapse at time, or call it relapse because that's the word everybody uses, but really when I just decided to get drunk again, like I said, I'm kind of glad I did because I came to those realizations. Now I know that I can't drink. And I always knew that, I think, even as a young person, I knew I couldn't stop because I always say, you know, there was always that thing, well, today I'm only going to drink two. Well, I'm only going to have a couple. You know, that never works out for an alcoholic because you're going to, once you that first one is done, you get that obsession for it, you know, you get that craving for it. It's a phenomenal craving. You keep going and going. So I've learned that now I know that I cannot touch alcohol. So with that being said, I really dived into the program this time, thinking about those things. And I go back and I started off working, you know, the program 1 or 2 days a week, getting a sponsor again and talking. But I realize now that I need more than that. That's, you know, my life. I hear a lot of people, advice I would give is, jump into this program. Don't just show up and warm up a chair. You know, you've got to really get in there and do this. I've gotten to where I work in an AA program. I've gone to NA programs. You know, I've never had a narcotics problem, but I know I'm an addict, you know, to certain things because I have taken pain pill and I really like what they did for me, you know. Never had really, you know, I got hooked on them or anything. But I know that I would want to, you know, as soon as if I didn't have anything else. So I've even tried that, you know, gone with friends to NA programs, AA programs, I've gotten into the red road of sobriety, you know, Wellbriety. I've gotten into that. You can't work too many programs, you know, when you're a person like me. This group, Sober Indians, it's a support group that I just love, you know. There's a lot of things in it that I see that keep me sober, you know, whether it's the good things, the bad things, everything. You know, I've learned that everything's a teacher for me, you know. Everything I did in life, I've learned a lesson from. And I use those things now. I've actually been able to develop a higher power working these programs. You know, I didn't have a higher power before. That's another thing. You know, I've always believed in God. I was brought up in church. I had no trouble with belief in God or a higher power or what was there. The problem was that with alcohol, I had, like I said before, I had gained a faith in alcohol, in myself. It was my quick fix. I had a quick fix with alcohol. I didn't, any problems arose, like I said, it was my quick fix. So with that being said, I didn't have to have a higher power. I also grew up as a person who, you know, you learn how to do things for yourself. You know, you hear these things, you know, that, you know, God only helps those who help themselves, you know. And I took it literally that I had to do everything, you know. And then once at everything I did, whether it was jobs or anything, I was actually, you know, able to get those things done. And I'd work and I'd climb ladders. So I would do all kinds of stuff. And so I did everything on my own. Turning my life and my will over to the power, to another power, was something really hard for me. Not that I didn't want to. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't need a, you know, because I didn't need anything. I was on my own. But one of those times when I crashed the first time, I remember that too, is you know, I'd always had faith in myself. Like I said, belief in God is one thing, but having faith in the and turning, you know, that He's going to do things for me, that was a different thing. I had faith in myself. And so when I got to the point that I had lost faith in myself, when I couldn't function anymore, I think that was my devastating point when I talked about that jumping off point, you know, where I couldn't do anything for myself anymore. I couldn't function. I couldn't do anything. That's a total loss of faith in myself, you know. I didn't know how to turn to God, you know. I'd always, you know, talk to God, and problems arose. I'd be a 911, God, get me out of this one, and I won't do it again type of person. But this time around, I didn't know where to turn. I really didn't. And so now it's been a while. I'm still going at it, trying to turn my will over to the care of God, over to the care of my higher power, you know, whatever anybody wants to call it. You know, you can be a higher power, your creator, God. It's all the same. That is a very, very hard thing to do for an alcoholic, I think. And I've, you know, talked to a lot of people. And they all come up with the same thing. We don't know how. We've always been independent, or we've had alcohol or drugs to do it for us. And so when we start trying to do that, it's a little roadblock at first. Then I started seeing it work, though. You know, after a couple of years into the program, and it takes a while, I started seeing little things in my life that, you know, I would ask God for, and He would give them to me. And some of them were they were things that I took for granted all the time. You know, one of the things that I'd ask for was, God, grant me the desire to stay sober today. And guess what? I'd stay sober, and I'd want to stay sober. I'd want to go to a program. The next one was, God, remove this obsession of alcohol from me. And guess what? I didn't have this craving. I didn't have this phenomenal craving. You know, as long as I kept working a program and helping others, I started seeing this little miracle working for me. And so I kept doing that. Kept doing that until it became a habit of mine to do it every day. Every day I meditate and I talk to, you know, and ask for the same thing over and over again. Now, alcohol crosses my mind every day of my life, you know, several times a day. You know, I work in the grocery store. I work right by the beer aisle. That's one of my departments, you know. But it's not an obsession. It's more of a admittance that I'm an alcoholic. Every day, you know, it's just part of my life, admitting to myself I'm an alcoholic. That's my thought in alcohol anymore. And it's not an obsession anymore at this point. But I do know that if I leave this program, it will quickly become an obsession. This time I know that because I had to go do a little more experimenting. And that time when I went and bought that 30-pack, you know, and I experimented with it, and I found out real quick that, yes, it will become an obsession for me, because that goes back to the point that I don't know how to live on my own. I never gave myself that as a child, you know. So now I know I need this program to learn how to live and to live. And it's a continuance for me at all times. One of the hardest part things that happened was for a lot of alcoholics, I think, was this COVID virus. You know, it couldn't be in places and stuff. A lot of places shut down. A lot of meeting houses shut down. A lot of things like that happened. And a lot of Zoom meetings started kicking up, though. And I thank God, you know, for those things that, we figured that out. About that time that COVID hit, I go to an AA meeting, and a storm hit, and we lost the roof above our meeting house, and it tore it up. And, you know, so we lost that, too, at that point. And, you know, with a lot of prayer, you know, and stuff, miracles happened. You know, Zoom came along, you know, and I heard a lot of people talk about Zoom, talk about things that, I don't like that. I don't like to look beyond the camera. I don't like to do this, don't like to do that, you know. And I thought about that, but I also thought I don't want to be drunk either, you know, and a meeting's a meeting in my mind. And I saw several people that did fail, you know, they lost their program because they wouldn't go on, you know, we didn't have meeting houses. And, but for me, I had to have that, you know, and I was very thankful to have Zoom meetings. My AA group, we ended up with a good building. You know, God provided, you know, to me, he provided another meeting place for us. We were actually able to buy a whole new building with what we had, you know. They sold it to us real cheap, you know, and it's a great building, you know, with a big speaker room in it and everything that's going to work for us, and little work to it, and we're back in again, you know. Little things like that that I see, you know, that I didn't realize it was actually God working in my life. You know, this Sober Indians has been a great, great tool I use, you know, and in it I get to help others, get to help myself. Anytime I help somebody, I'm helping myself. Little things like that. But my, I don't have to rely on alcohol to stay, you know, to feel good anymore. Over time, I think I'm developing emotions, you know, I'm developing feelings. And, I think an alcoholic can really tell you this, you know, that they understand what I'm telling, you know, saying about this, that we lose all that. We don't have any feelings. You know, when we first sober up, all those feelings start opening up. After we've been sober for a while, we start getting all those feelings again. And emotions are new to us. Some people don't want to deal with that, you know, and it's easy to go back drinking again because we're not used to dealing with emotions of, you know, and we're not used to crying. We're not used to doing, you know, certain things. That's kind of life what it was, you know, for me, and life what it is now. Now I see people trusting me again. There's some things you don't ever get back again, it seems like. You know, this, you know, I came from a big family, and I still see a lot of distrust in certain things. Slowly getting that back, you know, even with my mom, you know. She's still alive and, you know, very healthy lady. And but I see things opening up. But, you know, I did a lot of things in my life that you can't blame people for not trusting you, you know. And we can't get that back immediately. It's something that we work on, you know, slowly but surely. Things are working for me. Things are building back up again. I'm gaining trust in different places. My children, you know, never lost any faith in me, I guess. I always did my best with them, and I was lucky. I never lost them, didn't do anything to really hurt them. And little things like trust in me. My daughter can trust me to bring my grandbaby home, you know, on a, you know, drive with me, you know. You know, I have a 5-month-old, mm-hmm. you know, 4.5-month-old grandbaby, and he rides in the car with me. They trust me, you know, knowing that I'm working a program. But, you know, they can also tell if I need a meeting. You know, they laugh at me because they say, Dad, you know, if I start getting anxieties up or getting kind of short with them, they say, Dad, you know, when's the last time you had a meeting or something, you know? They joke around with me because they know, you know, that I need that. That's my lifeline. And so, you know, I guess I will, you know, trying to say that, you know, we've got to continue doing that as an alcoholic. We have to continue doing certain things. The miracle does happen. It doesn't happen overnight. But we kind of continue forward with our lives as long as we're working a program. You know, I love that program, and I'll continue doing that. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I'm just so glad you were able to do things like that, technology and nowadays, Zoom and stuff, getting my faith back in God. I don't have to have faith in myself anymore. Like I said, I had, you know, I do have, you know, I know I can do things. God has given me the strength to do a lot of things, but it's a lot easier. It takes a load off my mind and off my shoulders when I can say, you know, hey, you know, let God do it. Let God have it. You know, I do my part, and then I can, you know, it's so much weight off of me. I don't have to run the world. I don't have to take, you know, everything. I don't have to make sure that the you know, that I'm keeping the world running around me, you know. I don't have to worry about that. You know, it's easier to let God have it. So, you know, I used to think I had to carry everything, you know, carry the whole world, because that's all I knew what to do. You know, I didn't know anything else. That's what I knew. And that in itself takes a big load off of everything. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, Karen. You know,
well,
as far
I
as that goes.
Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking while you were talking, if you knew then what you know now, would that have swayed your thought process any at that point? Or would you still, or do you still think you would have had to have went through that in order to get to where you are now?
You know, that's a real good question. It probably doesn't have a real direct answer. But, you know, that leads me to this, the program itself is, we always say that it's a program for those who want it. You know, it's not a program for those who need it. Yes, it is for those who need it, but it's really a program for those who want it. Reason being is that everybody, I mean, I could go out there, a lot of people that I know are alcoholics, and tell them. I see young, a lot of young kids that are headed that way and can't stop drinking. And you can tell, I can read the signs. you can tell them, hey, you need to quit drinking right now. You know, you're an alcoholic and you're headed to this direction. They are going to look at me and they're going to laugh it off. You know, yeah, yeah, what do you know? You know, you don't know anything. You know, I'm having fun right now. That type stuff. They're going to tell you that. They're having fun. They're not ready for a program. Unfortunately, some people, you know, never find that bottom that brings them up to, you know, where they can hit the bottom and actually want the help. You know, some do find it. Some don't, you know. I was probably one of these people that, well, I know I was, that was advised to quit drinking, you know. I came from a family that really, you know, my mom never drank. My dad drank very little. My uncles, on the other hand, you know, we're all, both sides of the family had a lot of alcoholics, a lot of alcoholism. To me, I saw that as fun. I don't know that I could have changed anything. I mean, yes, I'd love to say that I would have just quit drinking if I knew what was going to happen to me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But even as an alcoholic, even while I was deep in alcoholism and drinking, I didn't quit. I couldn't quit. You know, once I had that very first drink, like I said, it was an obsession with me. And everything I thought I was doing, I was having fun. Nobody could take that fun away from me. So I don't know that I could even have done that to myself. You know, said, hey, you need to quit now. You know, you're going to become an alcoholic. I know you are. I can see the future. You're going to be an alcoholic, you know. Would I have? Probably not. You know, we had to hit a bottom, you know, that brings us to that point where we don't, with that jumping off point where we don't want to live anymore or something. Fortunately, I am seeing some younger, I have seen young people in the program that are coming in that have gotten, you know, we call them paper signers. They've gotten a DWI. They've got, you know, they signed their papers, you know, have to go to the program. And I've seen a few who have actually stopped and listened to the stories of what happened to us and are realizing that they do have a problem. And some are deciding to stop, you know, and say, hey, I got to quit doing this. You know, I've got a future. I've got, you know, this and that, you know, and kids playing athletics now, you know, a lot of them don't want to drink because they can't play, be in athletics or certain things like that, you know, things that didn't stop me. But as far as me, I don't know that I could have quit, you know. I think it was meant for me to get to this program. All in all, like I said, I'm glad I had that second, you know, that when I went back out again, got that 30 pack. I think sometimes I wonder if it wasn't meant for me to do that. If maybe God wanted me to, you know, knew I wasn't going to quit or wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And maybe he needed me to crash one more time to show me this road, you know, that I needed to do something different. You know, sometimes I wonder those things. Those thoughts do cross my mind. Maybe I had to, you know, live that so I can show my family members, you know, maybe they had to see something from me to know, hey, let's, you know, nieces and nephews, maybe they'll say, hey, let's not do like Uncle John, look how bad he messed up, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, maybe it was meant for them to see that, maybe, you know, things like that, you know, I always wonder, you know, if, you know, thinking now about my higher power, God and stuff, you know, and I think he does a lot of things like that for us. So I don't know that I would have been able to quit, or I don't know if it was meant for me to quit at that point. You know, I wouldn't have had a story to share with others, to tell others. I wouldn't have had that. That's one of the things that I got out of that, you know. But I did take all my experiences as a learning, you know, thing, as a learning tool at this point, even that time when I went back out and relapsed. That, to me, that was a learning tool, knowing I found myself more. I lost myself, but I found myself. Learned a lot more about me, learned a lot more about the disease, took the program seriously. So would I have quit? I don't know. I wouldn't have found the program, and I might have still been living in a lot of anxiety, you know, not knowing what the program was, you know. So, you know, that's a very hard question, but, yeah, it's there's a lot to it, too. And I hope, you know, a lot more people find this. I hope that the words I share, you know, my experiences help others. But like I said, I wouldn't have had, you know, if I didn't have those experiences, I couldn't share them either. Things have worked out right for me, too. Things have worked out good. Yes, I feel like I lost a lot of my life back, you know, doing things and missed out on a lot of things, a lot of family things I missed out on. I lost a lot of trust in things. But with this program, it also built a lot more character. You know, I was able to take that and build character, pass on knowledge. Maybe it was hopefully my kids have seen what it did to me, you know, and they don't want to do the same thing. They have an open mind to alcoholism now. You know, they may carry that genetic. I don't know. You know, they may be. But without me having gone to the program, having gone through all this, they may not know where to go either. At this point, my kids, especially my daughters, have sat in on programs with me. They've got watched me, you know, go, you know, speak at meetings and things like that, and they understand the program. So I'm glad it's there for them. I'm glad I'm in the program in case they need it. I'm glad that I went that far. Because someday, you know, they will know where to turn to, you know. They know that there's all kinds of programs out there and all kinds of help out there. If things happen, you know, they will be able to guide, you know, maybe my grandchildren, you know, if things happen, you know. We don't know the future, you know. And so as far as me going back and changing something, I probably couldn't. And I probably wouldn't have because I wouldn't have wanted to. I was having too much fun, you know.
Understandable. So leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm having fun. Leave me alone, you know.
But
probably
if you think
wouldn't
about
have changed
it, it's true. And, uh-huh. And at that age, being that young, you know, it's, you know, we all know it all at that point, you know. And I totally get what you're saying with that.
Yeah, you could go back and you could tell me a lot of things. You know, tell me you're going to mess up here and mess up there. And I would have probably said, well, I'll deal with it when I get there, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, that's just the way it I don't know that I could have changed anything. I'd like to think that I'd wanted to change some things. But like I said, then I wouldn't have what I have now either. Living in a program, if you're working it and stuff, it's actually a beautiful life. A lot of people will think of it as something that you're, you know, like a load on your back that I've got to do this, I've got to work steps. Depends on what type of program you work. You know, there's different types, and everybody can work a different one that'll work for them. But it's not. It's actually something wonderful in my life. It's actually something great so far. It's not a burden to have to be a member of AANA, Red Road, Wabriety, anything. It's not a burden. Recovering alcoholics, we are able to see the beauty in the world. A lot of times, a lot of things that we take for granted, that we took for granted before, or a lot of things that, you know, and I'm not putting normal people down by any means, but a lot of things that normal people take for granted, we don't. We've been there. We've seen things. We've taken losses. Even the sunshine is just in sobriety is a beautiful thing, you know, to us who have recovered or who are in recovery. We don't ever completely recover, like I said, but to us that are in recovery, you know, even a beautiful sunrise can be pretty, you know, something wonderful. We don't take things like that for granted. We don't take family for granted. We don't take a lot of things, life for granted, a lot of things that, you know, that people take for granted. We really cherish those things as alcoholics. We've been at the bottom, you know, we've been through the very pit. We've seen some awful stuff in our life. We've lost some friends. We've lost a lot of things. We've caused a lot of harm in our lives. And yet, you know, we learn to live with those things. We learn to get, you know, ask for forgiveness, those things. We learn to make amends. The ones who have found a higher power, creator, God, whatever you want to call him, we really look up to that, because it's something we didn't have before, and it's something that has worked for us. And so we really look up to a lot of things. We cherish a lot of things in life, I think. And so I'm glad I'm, you know, in a way, I am glad I'm an alcoholic, and I am glad I'm a sober alcoholic, and I am glad that I've got a program like that that teaches me these things. Meet people who have gone through a lot of things. You know, we meet a lot of great characters that people that have gone through the same things, you know. And really, it's not a bad world for anybody out there who's struggling with alcohol and, you know, don't want to work a program or something. My advice to them would be get in there. Give it your all. You know, it's a beautiful road you're looking at, you know. It's not the end of the world just because you can't drink anymore. You know, it's a beautiful world out here that we're in, and it's nice to see it sober, to have all those burdens in your life. It's nice to be able to see a beautiful, you know, sunrise, whatever it is, you know. It's beautiful to see your family. It's beautiful to see your family's eyes looking at you and knowing that, hey, Dad's sober, you know, or knowing that my grandchild, if I keep working this program, will not see me as a drunk grandpa, you know. Little things like that, you know, that a lot of people take for granted that we don't, that I don't want to take for granted. We see a lot of little things like that, just to see my family's eyes, like say, or to you know, to know that my mom can probably finally sleep at night, you know, after all these years, that she can finally maybe get you know, not worried about me, what I'm doing, where I'm at, if I'm going to die with my next drink, if I'm going to die of alcoholism, you know, or, you know, what's going to happen to my family because of me, you know, things like that. You know, it's nice to know that she has that. Those are the things we gain with sobriety and a good program. We don't lose anything. We actually gain a lot, you know, so That's where my life is at right now, Karen. And I, you know, nothing's ever perfect. Like I said, we go through trials. We know how to deal with them, you know. And without the program, I couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with those things by myself because I don't know how. Like I said, I made it clear that, you know, I mentally didn't grow up. You know, I had to have help along the way. Now, you know, I started too young. But it's not the end of the world. You know, we've got a beautiful life in front of us.
Exactly. So.
And well, I think, you know, that's...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to let you finish. I was going to tell you I've got.
Well, I was going to say we're almost like to the very end of the show, and I was going to thank you for coming on and sharing with us again and going a little more in depth with everything. And I hope that someone took something from this show tonight and took it to heart and will keep it with them.
Yeah, I hope they did. Like I said, you know, that's what we feel in our hearts sometimes, and the things that there is still a beautiful life in front of us, you know, if we take it seriously and get into some type of program. But I want to thank you again for letting me on here, and I want to thank My friend, Sober Indians, too, you know, and it's a very, very good little support group there. If anybody ever wanted to, you know, look us up, we'd be glad to have you up on, you know, there with us, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, mm-hmm. And like I said, thank God every day for, you know, the life he gave us.
Most definitely.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
With that, I'm going to say thank you again and wish everybody a great night and for everyone to tune in on Wednesday for another show. And just have a great evening and just know that there is help out there if it's ever needed.
Thank you, Karen. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.